And so the next scene is Higgs in like a prison jumpsuit, like a kind of saffron yellow prison jumpsuit. Your hands are like manacled, and you have a phone in one hand. And on the back, it says like "Dome Security Prisoner" in big letters. And you're in this like dingy hallway. There's a flickering neon like bulb above you. And yeah, so the phone is like dialing you through. They're connecting you to Mustafa Lee. And you get the call, like the connection connects through, and Mustafa's voice eventually comes on, and he's like, "Mr. Higgins, interesting hearing from you.
Yeah,
I understand you're calling me from a prison
would
facility."
you like to accept the charges from this dome space facility, sir?
Yes, go ahead, Higgs. I don't imagine you have too much time.
Fantastic. I need a favor because you haven't really got shit for me in the past couple of weeks. Every time I've asked, you refused. I need you to get me out of this. I'm in prison. Make something happen.
And what are you in prison for, Mr. Higgins?
Oh, you know, it's just a Thursday of was it Thursday? They all kind of blend together. Shot some cops with some sand. How's your day going?
There's a pause, and he's like, "Well, it was going fine, but now I have to rescue you from assaulting police officers."
So you're gonna help. That sounds great.
"I will, yes. Getting people out of prison is a thing that we can do. We have assets on that planet. We'll send someone to take care of you, but you owe me for this.
How
This is a big one."
Mr. Lee, do you know how favors work? If someone owes you something, when you help them, you're square. You're even.
Our
The debt
relationship is
is
becoming
paid.
very complicated, Mr. Higgins.
No, it's not. You owe me something, and then when you repay that, we're square. That is the relationship. I've defined our relationship. It's that simple.
I find you entertaining, Higgs.
Well,
And I
I'm in
think you're
prison.
useful despite your constant lack of judgment.
I have
But
judgment. It's just my own personal one.
I believe that you believe that.
Just one.
We'll send someone to help you out. We can
Fantastic.
talk about favors next time.
That sounds dirty. Have a good day, Mr. Lee.
Okay.
And I hang up.
All right. So, you guys, back on the Swan Song. You get a call from what's her face? Not Kalaya, the other one.
Rajani.
Johnny. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she calls. I don't know anybody could answer.
Who is it again?
I answer. I say, "Rajani, it's nice to hear from you."
She's like, "Your friend's in trouble."
Yeah, I don't know why he did that.
Sounds to me like you didn't have much option. What with the murders and everything.
That's very surprising. Monsieur Higgins is never a man to be afraid of running away.
So, I'm going to level with you, Prosper, and you can take this to the crew however you like. Higgs is a liability. The ship's not in his name. It's going to be easier for us to just buy your way off the planet if you leave him behind.
Yes, the ship is in the name of one Mr. Kovacs. Yes.
That's what it says here.
What would
I
it take
know
to
him
get that
well.
deed transferred?
It shouldn't be too difficult. Where is this Kovacs?
Mr. Kovacs is. He's dead.
So, it's a fake title then? Bought in a dead man's name, that kind of thing.
No, until recently, Monsieur Kovacs was alive. He is the legitimate and he's the legal owner of the Swan Song. But as far as my records show, he died recently on some backwater planet somewhere, some half-abandoned hospital facility. I don't even know what they were doing there.
Well, ship titles are not my specialty, so I will have to have
No.
someone look into it. But if we had proof of death, maybe we could have the title transferred. But the point is that Higgs did this on his own. The ship is evidence, but we can get around that. I just need to know what you want us to do. He's expecting a lawyer to get him out of the situation, and we can do that if that's what you want, but it's going to be very, very expensive.
So tell me what you think our options are. Now, between you and me, I do consider Higgs to be a liability. I don't actually see that he has advanced the needs of the crew very aggressively, preferring profit on his own over any sort of higher goal. And frankly, it is beginning to grate on my nerves.
It's so ironic and sad because every time Higgs does something that's like nice and like helpful, he does it in secret, so everyone thinks he's an asshole. Poor Higgs. He's so complicated. All right, so Rajani says she's like, well, Higgs has connections. He knows people. There are people in my organization who think that he gets the job done. Mustafa seems to like him for some inane reason. But a ship of your own, and well, you need a captain. I don't know. This is why I called you. If it were up to me, well, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know him as well as you do. Maybe you should talk to your crew, discuss this, and get back to me. Time is of the essence here. Cop killers don't do well in prison. If he makes it to trial, I'll be surprised. So think quickly.
Yes. I will speak with the crew.
Good.
Thank you, Rajani. I appreciate the information.
Whatever you decide, just decide quickly. And let's get this done with.
Yeah. You know, I hang up. Mm-hmm. I lock my door.
Okay.
And I turn on the comm to Pi.
Sure.
And he masturbates furiously.
Pi, record this.
Play me something French. Yeah, I say I inform L'Enfant of everything we just discussed, and I say that there are some who believe that Higgs is a liability to the crew, and I ask L'Enfant what their reaction is to all of this, especially, I make specific mention of the fact that recently L'Enfant felt that they were right and that they acted to prove a point to the rest of us. Was that point about Monsieur Higgins? Do you also consider Monsieur Higgins a liability?
Would you like me to be honest with you, Prosper?
Of course, L'Enfant.
I think you're all a liability. I've seen nothing but terrible mistakes from all of you since the moment we met. I think it's possible that the only same thing you've ever done is unbreaking me. I'm hoping you can repeat that, but things aren't looking very good.
And unfortunately, I was not the one who did that. Who was it who unbroke you?
Piani.
Well, if all of us are a liability, and you're hoping that we can further unbreak you, then I am here to tell you that that is absolutely something that we can do.
That's why I keep you around.
Wink. I'm glad to hear that. Piani, would it bother you if we no longer keep Monsieur Higgins around?
I think it might. In so much that I think you're all interesting, and well, I don't want any of you to die exactly. I think that making mistakes is a fairly common thing among you people. And why should he be punished for killing 6 random humans when any one of you have killed more than that?
Yeah, it's fairly reasonable. It's a question of whether or not having him around furthers your goals or makes them harder to achieve.
I'm learning things from Higgs.
I can see that. Very well. It seems we have a clear course of action. Thank you, Pi.
Okay. So you want to take this to the
crew? I go to Piani and Sakarian.
My back?
Say,
That's right. Yeah, so he went to the doctor.
Sicarian, you wanted to go and find a a doctor. Right. Okay, well let's
I would want to wait until
let's do Mr. Sicarian's search for medical assistance. Okay, so where are you going to start?
I mean, he just looks in like a directory or whatever.
Medical
makes MPS. A search on his pad. I mean, yeah, I'm guessing like, Google at this time is so advanced it may even know I'm looking for it. I just thought about it. My phone goes, I noticed you're trying to look for a doctor that'll help you with any
tests. I noticed you're wondering if you might be psychic or not.
Well, yes, Google Space Maps, I was.
Okay, so, yeah, there's a, there's actually, like, probably, like, a directed thing. Like, you do a search for it, and it's like, yeah, like, wondering if your child is psychic, bring them down to the examination center or whatever, and it's, like, free testing, and it's run by the New Prophet, and they're just doing like free testing for all like potential child psychics, and it does say like in the fine print like open to adults for testing as well, you know.
But then I walk in my full battle armor and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. So when you get there, yeah, it's like a fairly unassuming looking building. It's like the New Prophet Center for Psychic Study. It's got the big like New Prophet like cross over the door, and when you walk in. Yeah, you're definitely out of place. It's very, like, placid and kind of calm here. There's some, like, new age music playing. I mean, I guess at this point it's old age, but there's new age music playing in the background. There's, like, some ferns, and you can see, like, a little, like, water fountain and some, like, rocks. And there's, on the ground, like, off to the side, there's a bunch of, like, kids' toys and some, like, couches. And there's some, like, parents there with their children, and when you come in, they're just like, big man with weapons and stuff, but not actively, like, they're not scared of you, but they definitely look at you and are like, okay, Johnny, stay over here. Stay away from the big robot man. Straight ahead from you, there's a desk. There's a big, like, black laminate desk. And behind it, there's a picture of a, like, saintly-looking person, just like a sort of 50s, like, white guy wearing, like, robes, and he's holding, like, a gold, like, cross on his shoulder. And when you walk up, there's a woman wearing, like, similar-looking robes sitting at the desk typing away at a computer, and she looks up at you and is, like, kind of startled, and is like...
Hello.
Do you have an appointment?
No, but I need one most rapidly. I believe it to be urgent.
And is this for your son, daughter?
No. I believe I've acquired telepathic abilities. It's me.
She kind of nods. She's like, well, then... That is an interesting situation. What's your name, sir? She like goes to.
You can call. What was the name you gave me?
Jose, I think. Or...
I think it was
Jose. My friends call me the cook. I'm just a cook.
I missed Mr. Cook. All right. She like types it in and she's like, "Well, Mr. Cook, if you'll just have a seat over there," and she gestures to one of the couches. We'll have a nurse come and talk to you in just a moment.
I sit down and. Look for a magazine or some shit.
Okay. Excuse me. All right, so you sit down and the couch kind of like folds a little in the middle. And the woman that was sitting there, she gets up and goes to sit in another space. So everybody kind of gives you room. And yeah, you spend some time flipping through like a religious pamphlet about the like story of the prophet. And yeah, after a while, man and woman, both dressed in the same robes. They come over to you and are like, we're ready to take you into the examination room now.
Fantastic.
Okay, so you go in and you're exposed to a bunch of, like basically the Voight-Kampff test. Like, they're not like, let's draw some blood and, like, let's see this. Like, they ask you a bunch of weird questions and they read you with a bunch of equipment. They have you, like, hold on to some kind of, like, meter that, like, runs a current through you, and they, like, check as you answer questions and are writing things down. So are you being, like, how honest are you being with these people about the questions they're asking?
I mean,
like,
if
they're not...
they ask a question like, have you seen people die? I probably...
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more dodgy about it, but I answer everything else truthfully.
Yeah, they ask you about, like, tell me about a time in your life where you suffered extreme mental stress and, like, that kind of stuff.
I talk
you make
about...
up stories, or do you just,
yeah,
like...
talk about losing my wife and stuff like that.
Okay.
But I don't give all the details. I just say that, you know, I've seen family members die and it's been very traumatic for me.
Okay. All right. So, so after a while, they finish with the testing. You're there for like probably a few hours. And they ask you to wait in a, like a little waiting room, which is made much smaller by the fact that you're like wearing this like big suit. And while you're waiting for the results for them to come back and talk to you, how are you feeling? Like what's on Mr. Zakarian's mind at this point?
I think he's a little bit anxious because he really doesn't understand MES at all. Like yeah, he's encountered individuals with it and stuff like that, and you know, it's fairly common enough in society, but it's always kind of revered as powerful but dangerous, always dangerous, I would assume. So he's just more curious to hear the diagnosis than anything else.
Okay. All right. So one of the nurses that you were talking to, he comes back, and he's got his little, like, data pad, and suddenly he sits down, and he's like, "Well, Mr. Cook, we have your test results. Now, I know you came to the office under the impression that you might be experiencing symptoms of adult-onset MES, and now I'm not sure if that's something that you were feeling nervous about. I know, you know, a lot of people feel uncomfortable about the idea that they might be afflicted with MES. You know, people don't always look kindly on psychics. And, you know, if that's how you're feeling, you don't have to worry. Everything about your scans is completely normal." And he shows you just some, like, meaningless, like, squiggly lines and, like, some charts and stuff. And he's like, "Now, I know the alternate can be true, too. So, you know, if you're feeling disappointed, you know, everybody wants to feel, like,
special." You say that I'm coming up clean.
Absolutely. All of your numbers, all of the tests, they show, and you can see right here, this is a completely baseline system. In fact,
let me stop you there. Can you bring in the other doctor and nurse real quick?
Absolutely. And he gets on the intercom. He's like, "Come in here." And so the other doctor, there's a doctor and another nurse that was helping. They come in, and so there's a bunch of people in this little like crowded room.
So I think as they come in, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
And so the doctor is like, "Is there something I can help you with, Mr. Cook? I understand you're just going over your test results."
Yes. I understand that you guys feel like I come up a clean slate on this.
Absolutely. All your results are completely within normal bounds.
Sure.
No MES signs whatsoever.
Well, let's run one last test then. And I kind of focus on the nurse that first came in.
Okay.
And he feels like he understands fairly what he needs to do. And he focuses. Maybe it takes a few moments there. There's an awkward pause. They're kind of chuckling at each other.
Yeah.
Then I feel like it does come out of him.
Okay. All right. So you vomit forth the like black tendrils. Maybe even more than before. Like whereas before you were like building up this tension and then released it. This time you have to like dig it up from inside you.
Yeah.
That as it's happening, you feel like all of the like. I mean, Sicarian's a pretty like. I feel like a pretty like baseline like subtle dude. Yep. Most of them, you get emotional, but. It's like scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like you're just like your emotions are just draining out of you, and you just feel like cold and numb. And like suddenly you have this sense that like you could just murder these people if you wanted to, and no one would care or notice. Like, and you think about Andoni getting destroyed, and it's like that's what happens. And like yeah, you just feel all of your like emotions just drain out of you in this like black spray of tendril. And they hit the nurse. Like, as soon as that happens, they all kind of, like, freak out and back up. But they hit the guy, and he just falls to the ground, like, shrieking in terror and, like, pulling at his hair. And, like, the doctor is, like, they're just stunned. They're, like, panicking and don't know what to do.
So as he's screaming on the ground, Sicarian kind of looks down at him and back at them and says, like, over the din, like, "So you can see there's some concern that I think you were wrong."
Okay, so the guy that's like on the ground screaming and like frothing at the mouth, the other nurse is like trying to hold him down and like get his get a belt or his wallet in his mouth so he doesn't bite off his own tongue, and the doctor is like on the phone like call an ambulance, and, like they're freaking out, and like someone runs over and opens the door and they see him, and you're just standing there and there's just like shouting and screaming, and like are you gonna hang out or are you just gonna leave?
Yeah, so they're not even, like, paying any attention to him?
No, it's like you're not even there. They're just like, yeah.
He kind of watches them for a moment, I guess, and then eventually tries to grab one of the doctors and says, I need help. What are you going to do for me?
Okay. So the doctor that you got, the guy who was on the phone, like, he looks at you, he's like, the test results, there's nothing. You don't have MES. We can't help you. You don't need a doctor, man. And he like grabs you. He's like, you need a priest.
As he says that,
and he like crosses himself.
Sakarian's like, so none of the brain trauma that you saw in those afflicted are evident with me.
He's like, God, no. I've never seen anything like this before.
He says, he kind of looks at, him, at the guy on the crown, and the doctor is like,
it's like kicking and spasming.
May I make a deposit of credits into your account or his? Can you get it to him, please?
He's like, yes.
I feel terrible, but I had to show you what I was dealing with. So I give him 10,000 credits and say, just please disperse that to him. And my sincere condolences. I did not mean to. Well, that's entirely not true at all.
I meant to, but too bad.
I hope all that right. goes a long ways, and goodbye. And he, like, and I walk out.
All right. So as you're walking away, he shouts after you. He's like, you have a demon inside you, Mr. Cook. Look to your soul. And then the guy, like, he turns back around and he's like, it's okay, son, it's okay. And he like tries to like help calm the dude down as he's like coming down from his terror attack.
As he's yelling that at me, I, like, blink click or whatever it is, my visor goes up and I walk out.
Okay, cool. Then maybe as you walk out, we get a shot of Mr. Sakarian's armor coming down, and in the reflection, there's the big neon cross over the door as you walk out. So it's just this big, like, red cross on your helmet.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, cool. Like, it's not Khorne, because obviously it doesn't feel Tsinchi. It's not Nurgle. Slaanesh? Tentacles? Yeah.
A bit of that.
You know,
a bit of that.
Yeah, I think we're going that direction.
All right.
So some time passes. I get back on the ship and say,
yeah.
I actually say nothing. I give Higgs a thumb up and, like, doctor gave me a clean bill of health.
Well, I'm in prison.
Higgs
at this
turns
point.
Around and it's.
Oh, yeah, you're in prison. I guess before I come back, I go to Piani and say, good news. Doc says I'll be fine. Where is everybody? Where's Mr. Higgins?
I come on over the comms and I say, all right, everybody, listen up. It's time for the 7th annual Swansong crew meeting. Meet me in the bridge. I've booked a meeting. Ah, shit. Piani, could you unbook the bridge? I know you're not using it.
I unbooked a bridge.
All right. I booked the meeting in the bridge.
Okay. So you guys meet on the bridge?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm like pacing back and forth in, like, you know, tight leather outfit with like leather boots on. I've got like a riding crop in one hand.
What?
Get out of here. So Wu and Lara are both in the like on the bridge when you get there. Lara is like drinking a cup of coffee, and Wu is like talking quietly to her when you come in, and he like looks up, like, waves.
Hello, Monsieur Connor.
He's like, hey, busy day.
Yes, very much so. Are you here for the 7th annual Swansong crew meeting?
He's like, yeah, where is Higgs at?
That is the subject of the meeting. Monsieur Higgins is in distress. Like a damsel.
Okay. So you'll gather in the bridge for the meeting.
Yeah, you know, okay. I'm pacing back and forth, and I finally, like, you know, as I feel like everybody's sort of died down with their conversation, I just turn around and I say, "Gentlemen, Lord McCrary."
So she's got her like big blue star shaped sunglasses on, and it's just like, and like the space blanket all like wrapped around her. So every time she moves, it's like crinkling foil. She like looks up. She's like, ah.
Oh, I say, oh, of course. Gentlemen, Lord McCrary, we have to rescue Monsieur Higgins. He won't last 2 minutes in that federal prison. It is not a good place for cop killers. We must rescue him from his own destiny, which is to be murdered in prison.
Well, if Mr. Higgins has been detained, he surely is well-connected. I'm sure we can contact someone to get him out of the jail.
I have spoken with Rajani Van Dorn. We should recontact her and let her know that we are fully willing to cooperate in whatever methods she requires to get him out of prison.
Well, I imagine it's simply a buyout, but yes, we should contact her.
Good. Yes.
Mr. Prosper, okay. My voice is on record as being one of the more erotic and serene voices. I imagine it to be at a temperament that is quite soothing to both sexes. I don't imagine I need to temper it any more than I already have. Thank you, though.
Lord McCrary, is Garion's voice very soothing to you? Never mind. Good. Okay. I just like boop, boop, boop. I like punch into my comm pad Rajani's number.
Okay. So she a hologram image of her like comes up on the bridge display.
Yeah. I say,
she sees you, Prosper, and she's like, have you made your decision?
Yes, Rajani. We desire to rescue Monsieur Higgins.
She looks at you. Rescue him? What do you mean?
We desire to alleviate his situation, somehow extract him from prison, and return him to the warm bosoms of the Swan Song.
Regini, it's Mr. Sicarian. I'm sorry. He's been watching Raiders of the Lost Ark again, an old film from many generations ago. If you could just use your assets to free him from his confinement, that would be fantastic.
It's classical literature. It's an important part of history.
If that's what you want, we can have him released.
It is.
She nods. I'll make sure it gets done. She hangs up. So, meanwhile, Higgs, you're in a smallish kind of room, a rectangular room. There's like two concrete benches in the room, and there's probably about a dozen people in here. Most of them wearing the same like jumpsuits as you,
right?
They run the gamut. There are a few like guys that are just like passed out in their own puke, like sitting in a corner. There's a couple of sort of tough looking guys talking nearby. What are you doing?
Immediately the second I walk into the room, I'm sizing everyone up.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm looking for the biggest, baddest person in here.
Okay.
And right. I'm walking straight up to him.
Yeah, sure. There's a guy, he's got his like his jumpsuit like peeled to the waist, and he's got like a white undershirt, and his body's just like covered in ornate looking Majidi tattoos.
I recognize any of the tattoos as like a gang or anything like that?
Make a culture criminal check.
What is my one? 7.
Okay. They're Majidi like gangster tattoos. He is or was part of the like Mandarinate that the like enforcement squad, basically. He's a Mandarinate enforcer. Though what he's doing on a prison in Strophios. Also, you notice that his like teeth and his gums are like a deep cyan, like totally blue all the way through.
Okay.
And he looks up at you. I mean, everybody in the room looks over when the door they open the gates and push you in, close the door.
Okay. I walk over to him, and I'm just like, okay. What'd you do to get in here? My voice is a little bit deeper than usual when I'm in the room.
Okay. He just like hisses at you. He just bares his teeth and is like.
When he does that, I bark back at him.
Okay, so you bark and like everybody like kind of like looks back over at you like what the fuck, and he stands up and he's not like super tall, but yeah, pretty muscly and imposing. He just stands up and gets like right up in your face and kind of like looks at you, and he's got one like one normal eye and his other eye looks like. Like it's a cybernetic eye, but it like ran out of batteries, so it's just kind of like pointed down and like flickering a little bit. And he gets up and like gets right up in your face, and like bumps you with his chest. and like snarls, this big weird blue.
Do snarl. I know what the started with an M for his
Majid?
Majid. Do I know any Majid customary greetings or words or something that would immediately make him understand that I've worked with people of his type?
Ooh, maybe make another culture criminal roll. Okay, so you definitely remember a phrase that some Majidi gangster taught you once when you were both like drunk on soju or something in some bar, some backwater world, and you definitely remember them saying like, if you're ever in trouble with another Majidi gangster, you just say this phrase and it'll get you out of like any trouble. And you definitely remember that phrase.
Okay, so and he like bumps my chest.
Yeah, he like gets up and bumps you, and he's just like getting up in your face.
I'm just like, shit, there's something that your Jesus, people...
Suck my dick.
There's something your people say, and it's supposed to... Ah, oh, fuck, anyways, I deserve it being... Go fuck yourself.
So you don't even bother?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So you say that, and he, like, his good eye, like, widens... And he, like, leans back to, like, swing in for the headbutt, and let's break there, maybe.
Okay. Great. Sounds good. We'll take a break. We'll come back into the final 30, 40 minutes right after this. We'll see you guys then. More roleplay coming up in just a bit.